Tonight we're going to look again at Luke chapter 11, verse 2. The Lord has been asked of the disciples to teach them to pray, and the Lord gives them instruction concerning prayer. We've already talked about the statement here that the Lord makes that when we pray, we are to address the God of heaven and earth as our Father. And how glorious a privilege it is that we can call the Creator of the heavens and the earth our Father. I mean, it's amazing that when we consider how great God is, that and how insignificant we are in the overall scheme of things, in the overall scheme of creation itself. It's just a blessing, a great blessing, and that word does not even capture, you know, what we're trying to describe. But it's a great blessing to be able to call Him our Father. We're instructed of God to call Him Father. And we've spoke about how that this statement, our addressing Him as our Father, I think some of the designs of it is to make it more comfortable for us to address this great God whom we serve. He is an awesome God, and we call Him our Father. However, at the same time, while this is true, we have a statement following right on the heels of this, or a phrase following on the heels of this address that sort of balances our address unto to the God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And that is the statement here tonight that we'll look at, which art in heaven. Our Father is in heaven. And as we contemplate that our Father's in heaven, we think about just His fatherhood, there are some similarities between our earthly fathers and our heavenly Father. But I think the fact that our Father in heaven, that He is in heaven, it distinguishes Him from our earthly fathers. There are some distinctions made between our heavenly Father and our earthly Father. And I think we all would have to say amen to that. Now, tonight we want to look at some of the lessons that we can glean from the statement that that our Father is in heaven. I'm going to read this to you, a couple paragraphs. Set against our calling God our Father, we have the acknowledgement that He is also in heaven. He is infinitely high above us. We approach Him with awe and reverence. They are set the one against the other that we might avoid extremes concerning our relationship to God. On the one hand, as our Father, we are to have the confidence of a child, approaching unto Him with boldness and liberty to speak unto Him who is our Father. On the other hand, lest we approach Him contemptibly or arrogantly or irreverently, we are reminded that He is God. He is infinitely high above us. I like the way Arthur Pink puts it when he says, "What a blessed balance this gives to the previous phrase. If that tells us of God's goodness and grace, this speaks of His greatness and majesty. If that teaches us of the nearness and dearness of His relationship to us, this announces His infinite elevation above us. If the words 'Our Father' inspire confidence and love, then the words 'which art in heaven' should fill us with humility and awe. These are the two things that should ever occupy our minds and engage our hearts. The first without the second tends toward unholy familiarity. The second without the first produces coldness and dread. By combining them together, we are preserved from both evils, and a suitable equipoise is wrought and maintained in the soul as we duly contemplate both the mercy and might of God, His unfathomable love, and His immeasurable loftiness." End quote. That was an awesome, awesome statement that he makes concerning this phrase. Anyway, let's look this evening at some of the different lessons that we can glean from the fact that our Father is in heaven. What does it teach us? First, I think, and I'm going to turn to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 6. First, it points out His dominion and majesty, as you know, we've seen in our introductory remarks. Anyway, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 6, we read, and this is the words of Jehoshaphat. He says, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Art thou not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? The context of this verse is when the Edomites and the Ammonites and some other groups of people have come, I think Moabites as well, have come together, have assembled together to come against Judah. It's a great host. I mean, it's innumerable. In fact, the Bible didn't actually tell us how many there are, only that it was a great host of people. And word comes to Jehoshaphat that this great host has come against them, and he does what we all ought to do in the face of adversity. The first thing he does is what? Goes to the Lord. That should be our first recourse every time we meet with adversity, is go to the Lord. Every time we are blessed with some blessing, the first thing we ought to do is go to the Lord with thanksgiving. At least that's my opinion. But here we find that Jehoshaphat, who's, I believe, his desire is to follow the Lord. He is very much in tune with the Lord in many ways. Anyway, when adversity comes, he goes to the only place he can really find help and deliverance. He goes unto the Lord. So anyway, he goes unto the Lord and he makes the statement here, art not thou God in heaven? All right, so we establish here from Scripture that he's in heaven. We find that Jehoshaphat believed he was in heaven. And as a consequence of this truth, he says, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? So if there is any government out there, if there is any nation out there, if there is any power out there, if there is any authority out there, God is over them all. That's what Jehoshaphat is saying. He rules over all. One of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe that's not the way to say that. Epitaph maybe might be the better word for that. But anyway, one of the epitaphs of the Lord is He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. There's none above our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, anyway, we have this statement, art not thou God in heaven? Thou art in heaven. Here we have Jehoshaphat, prior to the Lord Jesus making the statement to the disciples that our God is in heaven, we have Jehoshaphat saying, you know, that he is in heaven, and in consequence of this, the fact that he is in heaven means that he is over all. God is over all. Our Father. Okay? Our Father is over all. He has dominion. He has authority over all. You've heard me say time and again, He is large and He's in charge. I mean, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. You know, the whole world may be encamped upon this, you know, against, arrayed against this little body of people. And yet we still have one who is mightier than they all. Who, you know, the one, Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 40, I think it is. He speaks of how the nations are unto God as a drop in the bucket. I mean, insignificant. They are nothing. And that's what Jehoshaphat, by experience, is going to learn. He knows this of a truth. He knows this. He's taking this truth and he's making it a prayer unto God. He's sort of, not that he can remind God of anything. God knows everything. He doesn't forget anything. Yet, at the same time, Jehoshaphat, and from the man's perspective, he reminds God, God, you are in heaven. And you rule us over all the nations of the heathen. All the kingdoms, Lord, are under your power. They're under your control. They're under your authority. And he seeks help from the one who can deliver. The one who ruleth over all. And we know what the outcome of that was. Jehoshaphat goes to the Lord. He prays this prayer. And we find the Lord answers that prayer by destroying that whole humongous, that great host that came against Judah. He destroys them all. Judah doesn't have to finger to fight against this great host. They just sit back and enjoy the spoils of the Lord's victory. Isn't it wonderful when the Lord does it for you? I mean, that was all. Anyway, the point is that God in heaven, our Father in heaven, that statement, that truth reminds us that He has the ultimate authority over all. As a matter of fact,
maybe this is somewhat connected here as I contemplate this. When you read in Romans chapter 8, when you the statement that the apostle Paul makes, he asks the question, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" All right, it is God that justifieth, he says. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who's going to bring accusation? Who's going to bring a charge against God's elect? It is God that justifies. All right, if God is justified, if God's justified, if He's declared righteous, to whom are you going to appeal to? Is there a higher court than God? You see, you see what I mean? I mean, there is none higher than God. The fact that none higher than our Father.
He is the statement that He is in heaven should point out or should remind us of His dominion and majesty. He is over all. The psalmist put it this way, that men may know that Thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, which by the way means I am, Jehovah means I am, art the Most High over all the earth. There's none higher than God. I like that. Our Heavenly Father is the highest. There's none higher than He. A second thing we can learn from this statement, I think, is that it indicates His great power. Just as we read there in that statement by Jehoshaphat, he says later on in that sixth verse, "And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" Again, he says, "Art not thou God in heaven?" And in consequence of this, there is none. You know, there is not a power and might that is able to withstand thee. The fact that He's in heaven indicates that there is no greater power than our Father. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 115, verse 3. We read from the psalm earlier this morning. He says, "But our God is in the heavens." Listen to what he says. "He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." You know, this notion that we've got to let God do something, you know, is contrary to the teaching of Scripture, isn't it? You know, when people in society, when people among Christianity say that we've got to let God save His people from their sins, is foreign to the teaching of Scripture, isn't it? When God, if God is intended, has purpose to save His people from their sins, I believe He's able to do that. I don't think the measly old man there can withstand any effort God makes toward him to save him from his sins. I think if he's out there playing in the street there, you know, in traffic, I believe he's able to get out there, grab him by the nape of the neck, and bring him out of the way of traffic. I don't think anything man can do is going to withstand God and His purpose to bring him out of the lane of traffic. You understand what I'm saying? Is that a good illustration of that? Anyway, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. We need to be reminded that our God, our Father, is God, the Almighty God. He's the omnipotent God, the all-powerful. There's none more powerful than God. And there is no might in earth or in the heavens greater than our Father. I like the way Paul puts it. You know, we've quoted it numerous times here in Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's Ephesians 3:20. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We might try to imagine how powerful God is. Isaiah tried to imagine how big God was, using the illustration of, you know, holding the waters of the earth in the hollow of His hand, meeting out the heavens by the span and all that sort of thing. And he cannot fathom the immensity of God. We can't fathom the power, the great power of God. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I like the way the Lord said to Abraham and to Sarah, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Isn't that wonderful to contemplate as you go unto the Lord in prayer, as you go unto your Heavenly Father in prayer? Ask yourself the question, is there anything too hard for my Heavenly Father? You know, little children think their dads can do all kinds of things.
You know, their dads are heroes. They can fix anything. You know, they have this idea that my father, you know, he's my earthly father, my dad, he can do anything. Sad to say, our fathers can't do quite anything, but our Heavenly Father can do anything. Amen? There is nothing too hard for the Lord. That should be a great encouragement to us to come often unto Him and beseech Him for His help in our time of need. Okay, a third lesson here, and I must hasten here. Third lesson we can learn from this is that the fact that He's in heaven reminds us that He sees everything. When Moses was about to die, the Lord took him up on Mount Pisgah, remember? He took him to a lofty height that he might be able to look down into the land of Canaan. And he could see the far reaches of that land of Canaan. He could see the boundaries of Canaan's land from that lofty height. Just like Moses was able to see all of Canaan's land from that lofty height, and I'm speaking after the manner of men here, but God, looking from heaven, can see everything in earth. You understand what I'm saying? God can see everything from heaven. The psalmist said in Psalm 11, verse 4, "The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men." His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. He sees everything. Our Father is in the loftiest of heights. He's in the heaven of heavens. And He can see everything that's going on from that vantage point. It's, you know, I'm again speaking after the manner of men. He doesn't have to be in heaven to be able to see everything here on earth. Okay, just know that. But it just reminds me that from heaven, He can see everything. He sees wherever we are. He sees whatever we do. He sees when you've just lost a loved one. He sees when you're struggling to make ends meet. He sees when you have a loved one that's being ravaged by some dreadful disease. He sees all the hardships that we meet with in life. Now, comforting a thought indeed that our Heavenly Father sees everything. Amen? He sees and He knows everything about us. Another lesson we can glean from this point is it teaches that where our Father is, our Father's home is our home. You know, when I go home, there's a sense in which I leave Nashville, Tennessee, and I go to, you know, Callahan, Florida to see Mom and Dad. And in some respects, that's home. When I speak about going home, a lot of times that's what I refer to. I'm going back to see Mom and Dad. My friends, my Heavenly Father, or my Father, is in heaven. That's my Father's home, in a manner of speaking. And that's where my home is. The Lord Jesus said unto the 11, in John 14, verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." I didn't quote that right. Let me read that again. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Heaven is my home. Heaven is your home. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe He is the end of the law for righteousness, my friends, we are assured that heaven is our home. And we are but strangers and pilgrims in this world. How we need to be reminded of this truth so often. How comforting to remember in times of great adversity. How comforting to know that our life here in this world is just a precursor, if you will, to that life which we shall have in our eternal home in heaven. Heaven is our home. Our Father's in heaven, and that's home. Another lesson we can glean from this is, since heaven is where our Father is, and that is our home, our conversation should be as it becomes a citizen
of that country. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our conversation. Now, some people like to translate that word conversation to citizenship. And I'll let them do that, but I'll stick with the translators here and with that word. I think it boils down to essentially the same thing. You see, if heaven is our home, if that's where we belong, if we are citizens of that country, there is a proper way to behave, right? We are to behave like we are people of that country. As we contemplate that point, you know, in heaven there is no lying. In heaven there's no arguing and fussing. In heaven there is no complaining and murmuring. In heaven there is no jealousy. In heaven there is no anger. In heaven there is no stealing. In heaven there is no vying for everyone's attention. In heaven there is righteousness and holiness. As we go to our Father in prayer, we may want to ask Him for help, to help us behave as children of light, as children of another country, of that heavenly country. We may want to earnestly beseech Him to help us to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of our Father. Another lesson we can learn, we got two more here. Another lesson here, since heaven is our home and our conversation should be according to that truth, then our affection should be set upon those things which are above. The Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Set your affection. If you look in your Bibles, you have a reference Bible, it'll usually show in there for that word affection, the word mind. It can be translated mind. Set your mind on things above. Yes, so much of the time we give our thoughts to thoughts of this world and not thoughts of that heavenly country, that place where our Lord Jesus Christ is even now. Our minds are set upon earthly things and not upon things of that other world. Our aspirations, our pursuits, our aim for life is many times not set on the things of our heavenly home, but upon being the best of whatever it is we are in this world. You know, we set all our energies in being something in this world. Remember the Apostle Paul saying, I forget now where it's written, "The man thinketh that he is something when he is nothing." I can't remember how that's worded now. You understand what I'm saying here. I wish I'd have given more thought to this point. But the point is that our pursuits in life should not be all fixed in this world. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, I believe it was, that our heart is where our treasure is. Okay? Where is your treasure? Is your treasure in earthly things or is it in heavenly things? If our treasure is in heavenly things, there will our heart be also. My friends, if the things of this world are temporary, if they are fleeting, if they're just passing away, then why set our affection, why set our mind upon those kinds of things? Why give all our energies and pursuits to worldly pursuits, when it's just going to just perish with the using? Finally, one more thought here. If our Father is in heaven, then we should look up. We should look up. The psalmist said in Psalm 5, verse 3, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Again, the psalmist writes Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. You perhaps you remember reading in Luke chapter 18, I think it is, where the publican would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven. Remember? He cannot look up into heaven. Why not look up into heaven? Because that's where God is, you see. He addressed God in heaven, but he could not look up. He had to bow his head. Anyway, the point is, our help, we should look for our help from our Father in heaven. And that should encourage us to pray. That should encourage us to call upon Him in prayer. Seek His help. Seek His deliverance. Seek His wisdom. Seek His direction. There is no greater dominion. There is no greater majesty. There is no greater power. There is no greater might than our Father. Our Father's in heaven. Let us look up. May the Lord add His blessing.